The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 7a. A reading from Isaiah. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm is 146. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 37. The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of our Lord. I have spent much time during the last month in front of my television watching the Olympics. I am what one would call an Olympics fanatic. It is on my TV every day, and then when it is over, I go into a bit of withdrawal. I love watching the sports themselves, especially track and field. I enjoy seeing an athlete try their best, leaving all of their energy on the track, or the pitch, or the field. I appreciate the competition and the opportunity to play for one's country. And this year I was happy to see more of the Paralympics because of the increased media coverage. In watching both of the Olympics, I noticed differing reactions from some of the athletes who were interviewed after their events in which they did not place first. A boxer from the UK won a silver medal on August the 4th. What an amazing achievement to be one of the top two boxers in their weight divisions in the world. But he did not see it that way. He received his medal, but he refused to wear it during the awards ceremony. And when he was interviewed after the ceremony, there was no joy in his voice. He spoke of being a failure because in his eyes, he did not win silver. He lost the gold. If he wasn't the best, then he was nothing. This, of course, was not the reaction of all the athletes. So many expressed much gratitude for the experience. But it certainly made me think about how costly the expectations we place on ourselves can be, which affects our worth. I then watched the Paralympics and noticed a different tone in many of the athletes who were interviewed after their events. Some of them did not win gold or silver or bronze. And yes, they were disappointed at not winning. But they expressed immense gratitude for being able to travel and compete. They knew that they did their best on that day, regardless of the outcome. One athlete even stated, "Look at all that is going on in the world. I am thankful just to be healthy and be here. I am thankful to compete." Expectations, when seen through the eyes of others, are life-giving and life-changing. The words we say and how we say them can have a profound effect on people. The actions we take or do not take have an effect as well. This is also true in our gospel reading from Mark today. We read that Jesus goes into the regions of Tyre and Sidon, both places that are found in Gentile territory, areas that Jewish people loathed, that were outside of the recognized Jewish community. He goes to a house and asks not to be disturbed. But he is immediately recognized and approached by a Syrophoenician woman who begs Jesus to heal her daughter, who suffered from unclean spirits. This Gentile woman bowed at Jesus' feet, showing honor and respect. She recognized who he was, but knew that she had nothing to lose. She was a mother fighting for her child, fighting for her child to be healed, fighting for her child to be whole again. And when we hear Jesus' response, it seems to be so problematic and harsh, if not insulting, because he basically told her that she was worthless, saying, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." His words seemed hurting, hurtful, and insulting. For he believed that Gentiles were no better than dogs. His mission, Jesus' mission, was to the children of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Is this really Jesus? Isn't this the same Jesus who preaches the radical love of God? The one who calls us to love one another, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves? What is Jesus saying here? Now, over the years, many theologians have had differing views on Jesus' response. Some say that he was simply testing her faith, Although nowhere else in Mark does Jesus do this, and there is no mention in the passage that this was his intention. Another view states that the economic inequalities between the Jewish folks and the Gentiles could have been the reason why Jesus treated her so abruptly. Many of the Jews were exploited by the wealthy and powerful Gentile landowners. Another view is the one that I spoke of just a few moments ago, that of preference. Jesus was so intent on completing the mission for the people of Israel, where in Matthew 15:24 it states, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel," that he had a kind of tunnel vision, and he presented his human side in treating her the way he did. No matter the view that one might believe, they all incorporate expectations and judgment of why she was treated the way she was. But the good news is that the woman does not back down. In fact, her response was very assertive to Jesus. She proclaimed to him, and I'm betting she looked him in the eye and said, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." I think that was a proverbial mic drop moment, because Jesus had an immediate change of heart. He stated, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." Amy Howe explains his change of heart like this. Jesus' earlier prejudice was very human, and his insight now perhaps divine. At that moment, when the woman was honest and spoke her words to Jesus, Jesus understood that his mission was not only for the people of Israel, but for everyone. God's love has no barriers. Everyone is a beloved child of God. Jesus' expectations were transformed and changed because of the woman's assertiveness and courage. Her daughter was healed and she was restored to community. The Syro-Phoenician woman was humble in her expectations, fully acknowledging the preference of the Israelites, but simply asking for her daughter, her child, to be fed and healed as well. The same can be said for the man who was deaf. He too was a Gentile who was healed by the touch of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. He also was returned to community, knowing that he was a child of God, no matter his culture, identity, or physical impairment. Our gospel reading today proclaims God's power and work among us. Excuse me. How do we as a church proclaim God's love? How do we share God's grace and mercy with those in our world who are needing to be fed and given the healing love of God? In both miracles, it is not the young girl and the man who asked to be healed. It was the community who reached out to Jesus. We, as a church, are called to do the same. We are called to cry out to God for humanity to be healed, for our neighbors to be healed, for all to live in the wholeness and completeness of our loving God. We are called to leave our expectations and judgments behind, to have our mind and eyes and ears open to the healing and redemptive love of God. We cannot keep quiet about the power of God in our lives. We cannot keep quiet about the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives. Our world needs to hear it. The church needs to envision it. We need to live it, and we give thanks for receiving it so that all can be healed and all can know that they are loved beyond our wildest expectations. Let it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day is "Healer of Our Every Ill," and it is number 612 in the ELW.